Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Been so weary with your work that you just wanted to die. Maestro, you ever had such a bad day at work, so weary with life at work that you just wanted to just end it all?
Wanted to die?
Yeah.
Maybe go to sleep.
Maybe go to sleep?
I'm ready to die yet for it.
Is that how you deal with stress, or do you just take a nap?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Zonk out, catch a few Z's.
I've been known to shut down that way a time or two. Between that and eating copious amounts of chocolate, and oftentimes those two things go hand in hand. Copious amounts of chocolate will oftentimes make you want to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some beauty in that mixture there. I'm not sure if it's the right beauty, but it's definitely some beauty. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our mission at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. And not only can we be heard on this fine station, but you also can subscribe to our podcast at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker.com, or TuneIn Radio. So the reason I asked that question, Maestro, is because it is not uncommon for people to have a lot of stress in their lives tied to their work, and certainly beyond their work as well. But sometimes the stress of the job can be so devastating, so impactful in a bad way, that people might actually even want to die. You know,
I was trying to end it all.
I was trying to come up with a really, really awesome vocabulary word, but it just totally disappeared. So let me just use normal English. They want to kill themselves. All right, end it all. And you know that, and I'm not saying that lightly or tongue in cheek. It's just a reality. And not only can that be the case when somebody's tied into their own workplace in a place where they're just not happy, they feel a lot of pressure. It also can happen to those people who are in between jobs, who feel like they are without purpose, who feel like they have no idea where they want to go. So I just want to kind of share with folks that are listening to this who might be in that kind of situation that you're not alone. Matter of fact, one of the greatest heroes of the Bible actually came to a point in his career to where he actually yelled out to God, you know what, I'm a failure, I'm worthless, just go ahead and off me, go ahead and kill me. Now, I was about to ask you a question, Maestro, and I think I just gave away the answer.
I think it's Moses.
Do you think it's Moses? You know, I hate it when I give away the answers like that. That's frustrating. I was going to see if you could actually pull it off. Did you know that already?
It was familiar.
It was familiar, yeah. Actually, it comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And in verse 15, Moses cries out this way to God, "And if you deal with me this way, then just kill me, I pray you, at once. And grant me a favor and let me not see my wretchedness in the failure of my efforts." So basically, Moses, in trying to be the leader for the nation of Israel, which was what his career calling was at that point in his life, he was just absolutely worn out, beaten down with the day-to-day throes of going after what he was supposed to be doing for the Lord. So what I want to do is share some thoughts that kind of occurred to me recently as I was reviewing that passage and kind of meditating upon it. And, you know, just kind of share those thoughts with you. Because, I mean, sometimes we're just going and blowing and blowing and going at breakneck speed, working our fingers to the bone, even doing exactly what we know the Lord wants us to do with our lives, like Moses did. Still, you can come to a point where it just wears you out. So here are four lessons that kind of came to me when I was studying this passage. Number one, realize you are not alone. Even the greatest heroes of the Bible, just like Moses, got worn out from time to time. Moses, as I just mentioned, basically said, I'm a failure, just kill me. But he was not the only one. Another one of the heroes of the faith. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give this one away, Maestro. Let me put your quiz cap on. Name me another biblical hero that became so distressed with his career calling, he just said, Lord, go ahead and kill me.
Elijah.
You are just smarter than you look, sir. You are much, much smarter than you look. And in order to prove that, I might actually put your picture on my careercallings.net website with today's broadcast, just so people can see that you are smarter than you look.
Fly under the radar, if you don't mind.
Try to keep that attention off of you, right?
Well, low profile.
You're doing a fantastic job, by the way, if I may say so. You're absolutely right. Elijah was another example of that. I mean, he was... It's not every day that you wipe out 450 prophets of Baal. And shame on me, I did not review the passage in where Elijah vanquishes those people. But if memory serves, there were 450 prophets of Baal that he defeated, plus another 400 or so of another idol, if I remember correctly. And maybe I don't, but just if I do, that's over 800 people that he vanquished in one day. When I say he, of course, I speak as a fool. The Lord vanquished them in one day. But using Elijah to do that, he did have his human part in God's work. Well, not long after his humongous victory, Jezebel, the queen, sent him a message that basically said, you know what, before the day's out, you're going to be just like those prophets you killed. Now, you would think, logically speaking, if the Lord of all creation just sent fire from heaven down at your command, wiped out and consumed all the burnt offerings you had, and then gave you the power with your sword to kill that many prophets, and then your own prayer led to the rain that came right after that, you'd think that you would not be worried about the threat of Queen Jezebel. But he was so scared, he ran off and basically said, Lord, just kill me. I'm done. I've had all the fun I can stand. Just go ahead and wipe me out. So the point is, if you're in a place in your life right now, maybe you're between jobs, still looking for God's calling in your life, or maybe you're at a job that you know is God's calling for your life, but it's just wearing you out. Or even if you are in a job that you know is not God's calling for your life and you haven't gotten out of it yet, you're just worn out. Any of the above, realize you're not alone. Moses felt that way. Elijah felt that way. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane had a similar reaction to his calling. He knew what was coming, and it just was so much stress involved. It definitely, as we all know the story, basically caused great sweat drops of blood to come out of our Savior's body during that time of great intense worry and concern over that career calling. So just understand you're not alone. Number two, ask God for help. God responded to Moses' depressed state, not by killing him, of course, but by offering him help. And so when the burden of service is too much for us to bear, we need to just realize that we need some help and then ask God for it. And then that leads me to lesson number three. We got to be humble enough to accept God's help. It's amazing how pride works in the human mind and heart. The older I get, the more I realize how much pride is a component of each spiritual level that I have. And I think that happens to a lot of people as they age, and they can see areas of pride they couldn't see 2 years earlier, 5 years earlier, 15 years earlier. You can acknowledge that you need help in your career calling. You can ask God to send you the help. And then when he sends you the help, you're all mad about that, and you don't want to take it. Great case in point. You remember the story of Maestro, 1 Kings, Naaman the Syrian? The leper Naaman comes to the prophet Elijah and then basically says, I need some help. I got leprosy. I want to get rid of the leprosy. So when he arrives, Elisha basically tells him, hey, look, Elisha didn't even tell him this face to face. He gets his servant, I believe his name is Gehazi, if I remember correctly, to just tell Naaman, hey, look, just go wash 7 times in the River Jordan and life will be good. It'll be all over. And Naaman's like, do what? Did they say do what? Is that Southern Syrian? Do what? He was mad. The Bible says he was ticked off, furious. And his servants had to explain to him, hey, look, you would have had no second thought about doing some massive amount of work if the prophet had told you to do that in order to be cleansed of your leprosy. So why not just go do what he said and go dip seven times in the River Jordan? So sometimes we know we need help. We ask for the help. And then when God shows us what form that help's going to take, we're going to like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it that way. That's not what I intended. And see, that's the problem. Sometimes we ask God for help and don't accept what he gives us. So that's lesson numbers 2 and 3 together. Ask God for help and then accept the help that God sends your way, even if it comes in a form that does not meet your expectations. Number 4, understand that there are seasons of service. And in order to point that out, we need to understand that sometimes the stress of where we are today, we need to remember that it's going to be short-lived. It's going to be short-lived because there are seasons of service where there are going to be times of that service where it's just really tough, there's an intense heat, and then it will slack off later on. For example, in Numbers chapter 8, verses 24 through 26, the Bible describes that the Levites' service in the tabernacle was described as warfare. The Bible actually calls Levitical service in the temple as warfare. Now, many of the Levites had as their tasks in the wilderness some very physically taxing things. I mean, you can imagine sacrificing bullocks all day long, sheep all day long. I mean, you got some pretty heavy, you know, those things aren't light. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of manpower to get those puppies up on the altar before you do your what you got to do as a Levite, and to help the priests in that process. So, and other things that they did, very physically taxing. That's why Levitical service was limited to the ages of 25 to 50. The Bible says in those verses, when you're 50, when you're done, the Levites will retire from that spiritual warfare of their service, of God's service. And then, even though they would continue to serve God after that, they would do so in less taxing ways. So if you're in a season or period of taxing service right now, just take heart. There will come a time when God will exchange your heavier burden for a lighter one. And until then, you just need to bear the burden you have obediently without grumbling. And then one, I lied. I said 4 lessons. Here's a 5th one. I can't count either. Shame on me. Sometimes those seasons have the purpose of molding our character in such a way that we can be prepared to do the work God wants us to do. In order to prove that point, I want to share with you the story of a lady named Clara from Indiana with whom I just conducted a career direct assessment consultation. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to share with you how her seasons of service have actually changed in recent years to kind of mold her character in such a way to where she can take the next step for the Lord that he has shown her to take. So come back from the break so I can tell you what happened with Clara. Robbie Rovizer, Career Callings.
Historical science observes clues in the present that may be applied to possible cause in the past. But what do we see in the fossil record? Join us for Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a radio ministry of the Institute for Creation Research, as Dr. Morris will explain how and why there is no evidence that evolution took place in the past.
Science, Scripture, and Salvation, Saturday mornings at 7:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Well, I'm here with Rudy with Geek Out Games talking about Teach Me Morpheus. And Rudy, tell me a little bit about how you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business.
Well, one of the things that we sell at Geek Out Games are very complicated strategy games. And part of what we can do for our customers is put together videos to help them really dig into the meat of some of these complicated games. So we see Teach Me Morpheus as helping our customers learn how to get more bang out of their buck for their game, while the store can also benefit by cashing in on the revenue stream from those newer players.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? Come on, I'll be down in a heartbeat.
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover. All right, I'm in studio here today with Dr. Jerome II of Palmetto Proactive Healthcare. Doctor, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus helping your business?
For example, I see you for a sinus infection, and you realize you forgot to ask me something. Teach Me Morpheus can have one of our videos for sinus infection that you click, you can go through my instructions. We'll basically become a 24/7 resource for our patients.
To learn more, check out teachmemorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's teachmemorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text, at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Before the break, we were talking about lessons learned from Numbers chapter 11, verse 15, and how Moses was just utterly, utterly beaten down by his career calling, being the leader of the nation of Israel, and how he responded to that by saying, "Lord, just kill me. Take me home. I am all done. I've had all the fun I can stand." And we learned on the other half, the other side of the break, that we need to, when we're faced with similar circumstances and have similar reactions, that we need to first of all realize we're not alone, because just as Moses cried out to the Lord to kill him, the Lord responded by helping him understand, hey, what, you're not alone, and we're going to help you get through this. So that's number one, realize you're not alone. Number two, ask God for help. Number three, be willing to accept God's help. Number four was understand that there are seasons of service where there's going to be some hot times and some stressful times, but those times will eventually pass. And we need to do our work obediently and without grumbling until such times as those seasons do pass. Now, the fifth lesson we were just about to talk about right before, or right up until the break came upon us, was the idea that sometimes we pass through those very seasons of service for a specific purpose, and that specific purpose is to mold our character in such a way that we can be prepared to do the work God wants us to do. And I was just about to tell you about what my experience with Clara from Indiana. We just a few days ago finished up a Career Direct consultation with her, and as we mentioned many times on the program before, Career Direct is an assessment created by the late Larry Burkett, now offered through Crown Ministries. And I am a certified Career Direct consultant with Crown Ministries to help people utilize this tool that Larry Burkett created to help them understand what kind of work God created them for and how to take the steps to go about pursuing that time of work. Now, interestingly enough, Maestro, Clara, who contacted me to help her out with this question, what am I supposed to be doing with the rest of my life, is actually a 20-year veteran of the human resources world. She actually is a human resources executive with a company up in Indiana. And so for the past 20 years, her job has been to place people with the various companies she works for.
Wow.
Do you find that interesting?
I found that kind of almost ironic.
It is ironic, but not in a bad way. It's, you know, it just goes to show you might be in the business.
That's right.
And still need some direction. And I think that's fair to say. I mean, how many times have we heard that contractors who are blowing and going and working on other people's property just don't have the willpower or maybe the insight to see how to deal with their own home? So sometimes they want another contractor to come in and help them.
That's right.
See something about their lives or their properties that they had never seen before. So I found that interesting. She was a sweet lady, and during the conversation, she talked about how during the last year and a half of her life that the Lord had been kind of helping her to see see herself in a different light and understand that she has some value to bring to the world that she had not seen before. And it was a revelation that many people, including myself, at some point will run across. You'll wonder whether or not you do have any value in the world. And then the Lord will show you in some way, shape, form, or fashion that you do. And what I said in response to her comment was that, going back to Moses, a slightly different story with Moses, is that Moses, when he was 40 years old, decided he was going to go ahead and take matters into his own hands and go ahead and lead Israel out of Egypt on his own. And his first step in that direction was to kill an Egyptian, murder an Egyptian, and bury him in the sand because that Egyptian was beaten up on some Hebrew slaves. So after that attempt to do God's work in his own power, we know the story, that he fled to the wilderness, and for the next 40 years, he learned the art of being humble. After you spend 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep and other types of flocks, you kind of have a different take on life in terms of how important you may or may not be. And then when he was 80 years old, the Lord came back to him and helped him to understand now was the time for Moses to take Israel out of Egypt. And at that point, Moses was not interested in that at all, didn't think he was worth it, and the Lord had to show him, kind of push him out the door and say, yep, you're worth it, you're the one I want to use, now quit complaining and go do what I told you to do. And when I said that to her, sometimes the Lord brings us through seasons of work to show us, to mold our character in such a way that we can be ready to take that next step for him. When she heard that, she just kind of broke down in tears, sweet tears, not tears of pain, but tears of joy. She said, you know what, that brings it in perspective, Robbie. That helps me to understand that absolutely the last year and a half and the things I've had to go through to help me understand that God has a reason for me to be the way I am and to do what I'm doing and why he's calling me in a certain direction. And by the way, interestingly enough, the direction she was being called in is to do exactly what I'm doing with Career Callings. She loves the people side of the human resources business, matching people to job needs in a company. Has no interest in managing the health insurance and the other stuff benefits-wise that those folks have to deal with. So I'm praying for Clara that she will have the doors open, the Lord would open for her to help her do that kind of work. So bottom line is, serving the Lord is the greatest privilege we can ever have. Serving him in our careers is included in that great service to him. So when that service starts to tear you down, understand that you're not alone. We all face that. Take a break, commune with God about those lessons we just covered, and let him refresh you and aid you as only he knows how to do to help you take the next daily step you need to be taking for him and for his great work in your life. Speaking of which, Maestro, taking that next step in God's work for our life might just mean we have to
take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Sometimes people are totally stressed out about their current situation because they're totally in a situation where their personality does not match up with the type of work that they're doing. For example, introverts. We've heard the term introvert and extrovert a lot, and I've heard it defined in many different ways, but probably the easiest way to describe it and understand it is this. Extroverts typically get their energy from other people, being around other people, interacting with other people. Introverts tend to get their energy, get rejuvenated, not so much by being around other people, but being by themselves, thinking inwardly. It doesn't mean they dislike people. It doesn't mean they don't like to have relationships. But as a halfway introverted, halfway extroverted person myself, I can tell you that just the very thought of having to go into a very big networking event makes me shudder a little bit. I can get up in front of a group of people, hundreds, thousands of people, and give a speech, give a lesson. No, I don't think twice about that. But to actually get in there and have to rub elbows and meet people one-on-one, that's stressful for me. And after a while of doing it, I'm worn out, whereas the extroverted person would just love it. So here are, from Business Insider, written by Jacqueline Smith, a handful of great options. I believe we have a total of 10 here, of great jobs for introverts. And if you're an introverted type of person, you might want to investigate these types of jobs for yourself. Now, these come from, even though I found this article on businessinsider.com, and again, the author is Jacqueline Smith, what she basically referred to was a study that payscale.com recently did. Now, Payscale is one of those handful of websites that's centered around figuring out what people on average get paid for various types of work. And so they did their own study from their own database and came up with these 10 introverted friendly jobs and the type of pay that people can earn doing them. The first one, number 10, that came in was social media manager. Great idea. Introverts, as I said before, introverts don't dislike people. They just get exhausted by being constantly around people. But social media managers who are engaged in managing Facebook pages, Twitter pages, and other types of social media for people, for businesses, they live, at that point, in a virtual world where they can interact with people that way. So that's a very good business for an introverted type of person. Median annual salary for someone like that, about $46,400 a year. Median annual pay for the next one, which is a small engine mechanic, is a little bit lower. That's $30,000 a year. But small engine mechanics don't have to have a lot of interaction with people other than just taking in the work and getting paid for it. Most of the work isn't with the small engine. Number 8, foresters. I know a few foresters, a handful of foresters, interesting people. They spend the vast majority of their time in nature, chronicling parks, forests, lakes, other nature-rich areas, making sure that those areas are well-maintained, clean, and healthy. Median annual pay, just under $50,000 a year at $47,500. Number 7, an archivist, curator, or museum technician. Median annual pay, about $40,000 a year. So people who actually like to hang out at museums or libraries, curators of such, they would be a good introverted type of work there. Web developers, number 6, at $56,000 a year. Artists, number 5, at $40,000 a year. Video game artist, at $50,000 a year. If you like actually playing games, but also have a designer's eye, it might not be a bad idea to investigate the world of creating video games and working for such a company that does that. So median annual pay for those groups or those types of people, about $50,000 a year. Private chef. So a chef who actually works for, you know, people who are well off financially. That would be an example of a private chef as opposed to someone who works in a restaurant, about $62,000 a year. Statistician. Now, if you like numbers and you like statistics, that's not a bad one. I've known a few statistician professors over the years, and they are definitely on the introverted side more often than not, about $72,000 a year. And then number 1, petroleum geologist. Now, these folks don't just make a healthy salary. They also earn it by doing work that soothes the introverted soul. They spend their days modeling large engineering projects and analyzing data for petroleum companies. And the median annual salary for that, $112,000 a year. Not a bad idea. If you want to get a copy of today's program, go to careercallings.net/radio, and you'll get links to the articles I've referenced, as well as a copy of today's podcast. God bless you, and make sure that you seek the kingdom of God first in your career calling, and He'll take care of you when you do. God bless.